like graduations. Amen. I just want to remind you, there are many that come in, but many who walk out or fail out. And so many do not graduate. So it is a honor to graduate. And it does take a lot of work. So we did work with Place of Grace and combined our time with their time somewhat, I believe. Anyway, it worked out. And I'm glad. I'm happy for you. So congratulations. And at the end of the service, if you want, you can come up here. And everyone here that prayed for you, I know I'm not the only one. Some of you have prayed for her as well. That might be your life group, Sunday school class teacher. I don't know who it is. Who is it? You have Ed. Okay, I'm sure he would like to come down and also congratulate you. But after in the service, if you want to come down when we pray, have you come down and give them an opportunity to congratulate you. All right. So it is good, and it was good to see Christy graduate last week. And I think we saw Kelsey there a couple of weeks ago. So it's good, and looking forward to more graduates in the future. Amen to that. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Luke chapter 13 this morning. And sometimes people ask me what version I use so they can try to get on their app. I use Holman version about 90% of the time, and maybe New King James version. I'll try to let you know if I change. If I don't use my Holman version, then I'll let you know. But also the other guys that preach, they use different versions. But I know many people have asked me, hey, I can't find the version. What version? You don't know that version. So anyway, this is the Holman version. I want to pray this morning that God will continue to bless this hour. Father, we just want to thank you for what we've been able to accomplish already this morning, through some singing and praising you this morning. Thank you for this graduation. Lord, I know I just want to pray for our service, that your spirit would be upon us during this service and that your will might be done. And we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. I also forgot to pray for you where she stepped out, but I forgot to pray for her, so I need to pray for her when we close out today, because someone will be taking her bed in the future. So we're going to pray for that person, whoever that person is going to be. But I want to share with you this morning about the parable of the fig tree, the barren fig tree. So these parables are short stories that illustrates and teaches us morals and teaches us things that the Lord wants us to learn through the biblical way. And so I want to read this. It's very short, but I think we can glean some stuff off of it. And he told the parable, this Jesus, a man had a fig tree that was planted in his vineyard. He came looking for fruit on it, and he found none. And he told the vineyard worker, listen, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it even waste the soil? But he replied to him, sir, leave it this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. Perhaps it will bear fruit next year, but if not, you can cut it down. So we have to figure out, first of all, who are these characters? What is going on here? Well, I want to share with you that the man here is God. And the fig tree is Israel. And it's you and I as well. And the keeper is Jesus. So what we see here is the Lord is saying, God has this fig tree. And it is planted in his vineyard. And he keeps coming down, and he's looking for fruit on it. He's not finding anything. What we're finding here is that he says, I've been coming down for 3 years. That's about the time, about the length of time of Jesus' ministry. It's 3 years. And what we see here is that Israel is not accepting Jesus as the Messiah, as a nation. Now, there are some people that are accepting him, but as a nation, they are not accepting Jesus as God's Son. Our country is struggling with that today. Our country is struggling with that a lot. There's just a big push, and there's such a great division. But he says, I've been looking for 3 years. I think God was disappointed. He had some expectations, but I don't think they weren't really that high. Just trust the Lord, right? But he was disappointed. He came looking year after year. And he finds no fruit. He finds that they're not accepting, becoming what this fig tree is supposed to do. It's supposed to bear fruit. But he says, cut it down. I want to remind you in 2 Peter 3:9, it says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. I know some of us are, I've heard so many people say, oh, I'm just ready for the Lord to come. When the time comes, I'll be ready. I am not ready yet because I know there's too many people that I'm praying for to come to Christ. There are so many people out here that do not have Christ that need to hear the gospel. I know some of us might be tired and we're ready, Lord, come. Come, and I get it. We can pray that way. But I'm telling you, when the Lord comes, it all changes. And we that know the Lord, we good. But I still got some family members out there that are not, they refuse to believe in Jesus Christ. And I can't say any more than I just got to pray that God will break that mold that they're in, even with all. And then I got to pray for all the young people, just like you do, as they're being raised up into a society today where everything is against what we preach and what we teach and what we believe. I think God was disappointed in Israel. But God knew. He knows. But Jesus is the keeper. He's out there ministering. And the Lord says, for 3 years, you've not accepted him. Cut it down. But Jesus intercedes. I like that. I don't always have the best of days. And I always don't have the best of weeks. And sometimes you can also understand, sometimes there's a phase in your life or just a season in your life, it just don't seem good at all. You're not talking about days anymore. You're not talking about weeks. You're talking about some months. And it can be hard. It can be hard through this whole process of life. And you're wondering, I'm a believer, but I'm not even seeing any fruit. But Jesus intercedes and says, just give me one more year. I think this is a great example for how we should be praying. Lord, give me one more year. Lord, I'm just praying that you, one more year. What does he say? I'm going to water it and I'm going to fertilize it. I'm going to put some work into it. I'm going to put some work into it. Need to have that tree needs to bud. It needs to bring forth fruit. But I'm so glad for God's mercy and his love. For the tree that he was expecting fruit from was the same that ended up crucifying him. Same group of people. It was his own people. It was his own people that yelled, crucify. Crucify. Israel refused to accept Jesus as a Messiah. But I want to remind you today, without Jesus, you can't bear fruit. Not the fruit that the Lord is looking for. You cannot bear fruit without Jesus Christ. God has patience, as many of us have experienced. God has patience toward man. He has patience toward you. Sometimes it's turned off. Chastisement or discipline or judgment comes. But we have to be ready to bear fruit. We got to be wanting to bear fruit. The fruit of the world looks different than the fruit of the Lord, of the Holy Spirit. Let me give you a list of what the Lord is looking for, we as believers. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and patience, and kindness, and goodness, and faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. And against such things, there is no law. You see, we're trying to live a different lifestyle, and a different set of biblical ways and morals that God has for us. And the world has a total set of different ones. And it's becoming harder and harder to live and put a smile on your face and seeing what we're seeing out there. And it becomes difficult. And we can get our eyes easily fixed on what's going on in the world and on the news and forget what the bigger purpose is. That is, for those, we got to water. We have to continue to fertilize. We can't stop sharing the gospel. We cannot stop discipling those who are believers and young believers. And we all need to continue to keep being discipled ourselves. We cannot stop going forward because the world seems to be pushing us back. We got problems. We have problems all over. But there's something about the gospel. When the gospel, when it seems like the world is going through hard times, when those who stick and share the gospel just seems like it just penetrates into the hardest of hearts during hard times. And we can't quit and step back because things are getting a little harder. Because they are getting harder. Almost things like there's always so much violence going around. There's so much, just people got so much panic and anxiety and stressed out of what you see on the news or whatever it may be. We struggle with it. And that becomes our life. And we begin to live in what the Lord doesn't want us to do, is to live in the spirit of fear. And so we see that this fig tree is not bearing fruit. This church needs to continue to bear fruit. If it stops bearing fruit, it needs to be shut down. I want to remind you, let's not get confused in John chapter 15, because I've had people talk to me about this. This is not John chapter 15 where the Lord is talking about pruning. That's different. Where he prunes. If you're not bearing fruit, he prunes. When you're bearing fruit, there's some good pieces in that. But we're talking about here, number one, the fig tree has to come to this place of growing fruit, bearing fruit. We have to come to the realization that there are those fig trees, there are those people in our lives that are not bearing fruit because they can't, because they do not and will not accept Jesus Christ as God's Son. And we have to get to the place where we are starting to dig around in that, and we are starting to get involved, where we're going to water, and we're going to fertilize into that individual. We're going to spend time with that individual. Think about when you first came to Christ, when you were excited and you did share about what Jesus has done in your life, and now we're just not sharing it enough because we feel we're good. I'm good. We need to be out there working it. We need to keep working. We need to keep working it in the ministries in our life. The question is always, how long does God have to wait to see fruit in your life? He didn't save you just to save you. He saved you for so much more than just you, than what you think. He saved you for a purpose bigger than you even know until you go on the other, until you see him. I don't think we'll fully understand what salvation really is, the gift of it, and what eternal life really is. But I do believe God is patient with our growth. We're not all going to grow at the same speed. Some of us are going to have some setbacks. Sometimes it takes longer for one person to come to Christ than it does another person. But we are all living on borrowed time. If you know Jesus Christ, you're good. So your time with the Lord is good. But for a person who's not come to the acknowledgement and action, receiving Christ and believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and not accepting Him into their life, as they are living on borrowed time. And it's a time that no one knows when their end of days will come. I don't think we understand truthfully how it works for a lost person. This is as good as it gets. And a lost person doesn't believe in Jesus Christ, might know a little bit about Him, might know a little bit about God, but they do not understand and have not come to the realization in the heart and receive Christ. They do not understand that there's a dark place that's awaiting them. And as time goes, each year, each day, each month, they draw closer and closer and closer to it. And when a person dies on this side of heaven, on this side of life, when a person dies, there is no extra chances. There is no redos. There is no more extra time, bonus time. It's all living. We are all living on a borrowed time. How many of you know someone that you would say, I can't make a judgment on it, but I've not seen or heard any inclination that my family member, so-and-so, or my friend has come to accept Jesus Christ in their life at any time. And no time whatsoever, I see no witness, I see no evidence that they knew or received Jesus Christ. Scripture says that they are separated from God at death, that they go to a place of gnashing of teeth and pain and suffering and sorrow. Place of agony. I wish we would understand and know that we can't quit just because it looks like they're not going to come to Christ. But that we have to dig a little harder. We have to fertilize a little bit more. We have to water a little bit more. We have to get down on our knees and we have to continue to pray. And we need to keep praying. And we need to keep praying for those who are lost. Isn't that what that blackboard is up there? You all put names on there. We still got 7 more lights to fill there for 25. We're a year into it, a year and a half. My question is, when's the last time you've watered and fertilized around those names? And I know some of them, you're like, man, they're entrenched and rooted in rock or hard clay, and they're tough. Yeah. You don't give up. You don't quit. You keep sharing the gospel. You keep praying. Let me remind you that most of you that have come to know Jesus Christ, somebody was praying before you even knew about it. Yep. I was praying for Trevor before he even knew about it. Never knew about it. When Tabitha started dating him, I was praying for him. Praying for his salvation. I met Steve Shenfield. I was praying for his salvation for a while. And I see lost people. I'm going to pray for them that they come to Christ. And I hope you do too. And you know what? I'm sure I wasn't the only one praying for Trevor. I know Ed. He was praying. I know. Yep. Tanya, she was praying. And collectively, you get a group of people praying for a lost person. You are teamed up, and you're going to keep praying. You are praying for them because you care about them and you love them. This is why Jesus says, "Give me another year. Give me another year. I'm going to water it. I'm going to fertilize it. I'm going to dig around it. I'm going to do that. I'm going to put effort into this. I'm just going to do it because I care and I love." And I can't help but think that you know some people that you care about and that you love, but you're going through life and you're forgetting that they do not know the Lord. And if you remember that they know the Lord, how much effort are you putting into that? This is one of the biggest lies, I believe, doing funerals. You're in a funeral home. There's someone in a casket. And the family members just come up and say, I know Grandma's in heaven because she was the sweetest lady. Grandma was the greatest person in the world. She is going to heaven. Grandpa's going to heaven because he was awesome. And he took me fishing, and he took care of me, and he slid me a couple $5 here and there because Mom and Dad wouldn't do it, and he just let me have extra this and get me ice cream, and he took care of me, and he loved on me, and he did all those things. Grandpa is heaven because he's so good. He was so awesome. Let me remind you, heaven is not filled with awesome people. He is not filled with good people. Heaven is only filled with those who call upon the name of Jesus Christ. Because we don't go to heaven because of how awesome and good we think we are. It is only by the name and the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And you have to acknowledge it to get to heaven. You got to repent of your sins and come to that place in your life saying, I know that I am a sinner. Hell is filled with awesome grandmas and outstanding grandpas. But we believe the lie in the funeral home that they're going to heaven because they were so good. Let me tell you, Grandma and Grandpa are sinners too. You just probably didn't see it in your eyes of all love for Grandma and Grandpa. But I believe if you dig down a little bit and you get with the Lord and say, Lord, I'm going to focus a year on praying for these three people. I'm going to focus a year on praying for this one. I'm just going to put a little extra time on this one because I love this person. I know this person. Or maybe even be, you may even be strong enough to say, I got an enemy, but I'm going to pray that the Lord will save my enemy, my neighbor, who is the worst neighbor of all. And you're going to pray for what you want to call an enemy. I want to tell you, God answers prayer. Trevor's here because God answers prayer. I'm saying his name because I don't think he minds if I say it. Steve here because God answers prayer. Someone prayed for me. Someone was praying for you. I remember when Bob came into the church we were attending one time before. I saw him. Met him, and I walked away, and I said, I'm going to pray for that guy. Now he's serving and directing in our meal ministry. But when I first met him, I was praying for him, because I didn't know if he knew the Lord or what. At that time, he didn't, the very first time I met him. Let me remind you something, believers. Let me remind you of something today. Prayer changes lives. Prayer changes people. Prayer changes situations. Sometimes it may not look like what you want. Sometimes it may seem different than what you thought the outcome was going to be, but I will remind you, if you trusted Jesus with your salvation, why don't you trust Jesus with your life? Trust Jesus with that circumstance that's in front of you. It may look ugly. It may not look like anything you ever thought it was going to turn out to be, but I want to remind you, God works through things. In the military, I was used to being able to have all kinds of cash, all kinds of thousands of dollars or whatever thing. I just always had a good position, always did things, always in, you know, just a lot of responsibility. And those things, I get out of the military, I'm working a job for $6.50 an hour as a security officer, and I thought I was a loser. I might have got an offer down in Florida and another one in Arkansas, but I was already away. I was like, no, I need to keep my family here. So I was working $6.50 an hour. Lost our apartment. They were coming for the truck. I know what that's like. Can't pay a truck payment on $6.50 an hour. You know what that does real quick, though? I put you on your knees. Real quick. Then you have a Christmas, and you can't even buy Christmas for your family, so you go to the Dollar Tree. You go to the Dollar Store, Dollar Tree. Had one of those too. But it's kind of funny. That's the one I remember more than any of them. It really wasn't about the gifts, was it? But what I found out was I didn't know God had a plan to call me into preaching. You never know. You're going to go through a rough patch from time to time. And God allows it in those seasons. And He was throwing me back into ministry work and getting me involved in teaching a Sunday school class and doing some other things, and didn't really understand what all that was about. Still struggling. And the next thing I knew, 8 years later, God calls me to preach. Carl's pastored a few churches. Carl's a men's director at the men's house. He's pastored a few churches, and I know he's went through some rough spot between when the other church, he was done with that one, and not having anything here in the present. Probably got to a point sometimes where he felt, what's God doing with me? I don't understand. What does God want to do with me? It seems like I'm just kind of sitting on the bench over here. Nothing's working. I'm not getting any calls and those kind of things. And through that stretch, what is God doing? God has got something that He can't see. He doesn't realize we're working on a home to start a men's program. God kept it out of His whole view. Because while God is creating the men's life house, He's over here working with Carl. But He doesn't want Carl to see it. He's got to trust God. He's got to keep doing that. He's got to keep working. He's got to be patient. And then when it opens up, God touches in my heart with the Holy Spirit. And I've seen His wife. It's weird. I see His wife during Christmas time at the mall. I said, "Hey, Tina." And then we started gabbing. And then I walked away and it's like, God wants me to Carl. Because of what I've been doing. God's also been working with me. Been calling up different guys, talking about a men's shelter director and all that. And the next thing you know, then God unveils it and brings Carl, and he's leading the men's life house. And so what is up with that? Sometimes it looks like you're not bearing fruit. But God is prepping you. So we need to understand there is a season for fruit. But without Jesus Christ, you bear no fruit. You have to have Christ to bear fruit. And once we come to Christ and we start bearing, we bear that fruit, then God expects us to continue to bear fruit, not keep getting saved, but to serve and for His purposes. And when those moments come, when it looks like I'm so used to bearing fruit, because there is a part there where you're bearing fruit and it feels great and God's doing it, and sometimes it's just not bearing any more fruit. What's going on? What's wrong with me? It's not always something is wrong with you. It's not even sometimes that God is pruning. Sometimes it's just you're in a different season. You're in the fall. You're in the winter. You're in a season where you're not bearing fruit. But that doesn't mean God is done with you or God's not using you. You have to be patient. You have to work through it. You can continue to pray for others. Keep praying for others. Sometimes the fruit looks different than what you're used to. Israel rejected Jesus. God says, cut it down. Been coming for 3 years. Cut it down. Jesus says, give me another year. I'm going to water it. I'm going to fertilize it. Maybe God is saying, cut it down. And the Lord has been working in your life. And it's time for you to accept and bear that first piece of fruit of salvation. Coming to the realization that it's time to stop running from God. Because you know that you know that Jesus Christ existed and you believe in Him, but you just not let God have His way. Surrender to that and bear fruit. Bear that first piece of fruit. And maybe you're a believer. You that are believers, you need to continue to bear fruit. But if it doesn't look like you're bearing fruit right now, don't stress. If your heart's desire is to bear fruit and you want to bear fruit, those are good places to be, but don't fret. Now, if you don't want to bear fruit, that's a different attitude. If you don't want to do what God wants you to do, you're running from God. But sometimes, doesn't it feel like we're standing right in front of God and He's looking right over you like you don't exist? Let me remind you, sometimes we think God is looking over us, but the best thing is that He's right in front of you. He's got you. He's got you. You just got to have some patience. You got to ask God to give you some understanding and some time. And this church has accepted. This church is built on the name of Jesus Christ. And we try to put a place and shine out into this city that they might receive Jesus Christ. But as I close, I want to ask you, isn't there a lot of lost people out in our community? You know, I said this so many times before and I'll say it again. I can come down First Street and look down the side streets, and those streets are filled with cars on Sunday. They're filled with cars. They're not moving. Because they said, this is my day. Well, you choose what you're going to do with your day. This is Sunday. Me and my house will serve the Lord. As the scripture says, choose this day whom you shall serve. But for me and my house, we shall and we will serve the Lord. But that doesn't mean that it's all about me. That means I need to be praying for our streets, the people that are living in this neighborhood. Do you see that we have scaffolding up here and we've been trying to get this thing finished and done? So Lord, Luke's doing up some great work up there. You think we're doing it just for the looks? Some of it. We're doing it so we can finish this balcony and it gets filled up. Then we can jump over here and finish what we started over here so we can finish it up so some people can sit up here and some people can sit down here and we can just fill this down here. Why? Now for my glory. But that we are praying for lost people and more lost people are coming to Christ and changing the outlook of what this community is. The fig tree wouldn't bear fruit because it wouldn't accept Christ as the Messiah. Israel wouldn't do it. I pray that you have this morning. I pray that if you haven't, that you are really, that the Lord is working on you right now. And I pray that if you're not bearing fruit, I can tell you this, the best place to be is at the foot of the cross, at the foot of Jesus. And sometimes you don't even have to say anything. You can imagine yourself just reaching out. Just touching His feet. As one lady did, touch the hem. That's all I need to do. Sometimes we just need to know that He's there. The scripture tells me that He's always there, right? Amen.